Welcome to Big Blue Hits Friday right here on Giants.com. I'm John Schmelk. Today we're joined by Lance Meadow as the Giants come off their bye week getting ready to take on the Oakland Raiders. The Giants have won two straight, looking for their third in a row, and is game one of a three-game homestand for Big Blue. Now it's time for the Adorama News of the Day. Adorama, the official electronics retailer of the New York Football Giants. And we'll talk about Brandon Jacobs and Lance. He's been listed as doubtful for the game on Sunday, despite having that bye week, still dealing with that hamstring injury.
Yeah, that hamstring injury has just lingered dating back to right before the bye week. So now they'll obviously be turning to Peyton Hillis, and the timing can't be any better to get Andre Brown back in the mix since he was on IR. They now bring him in. He'll be able to balance carries off with Peyton Hillis.
They'll work him back slowly. Andre Brown will have a chance to get back into the mix a little bit, but I imagine Peyton Hillis will be the primary running back with Brandon Jacobs unable to go. Let's take a look at the rest of the injury report, and really the big names on here come in the defensive backfield. Corey Webster still out with that groin injury, and two other cornerbacks are questionable for this game, Jayron Hosey and Tremaine McBride and Lance. If both these guys can't go, boy, the Giants are going to have to figure something out at corner. Charles James, Terrell Thomas outside, roll in the slot. What's going to be the plan?
Well, Terrell Thomas would be probably the first guy that I would assume would need to step up. But remember, you got to be very careful because of the lingering knee injury. You don't want to overwork him. He doesn't practice every day, and the knee has been swollen at times. I would think they'll probably go with an additional safety. You'll probably see Antrell Roll be moved into the slot, so this way you can use Will Hill and Ryan Mundy as your primary safeties.
Victor Cruz did practice in full today, and he was not wearing that red jersey that the quarterbacks usually wear. Now, he did wear it on Thursday. Obviously, he got some jokes from the teammates, but Victor Cruz will do whatever the head coach tells him to do.
I just abide by the rules. Coughlin wanted me to put the red jersey on just to make sure, you know, make sure everyone understands that, you know, not to hit me and while I'm out there running routes and to prevent the injury from happening again, because he knows if somebody tries to bump me or something, my instinct is going to kick in and want to do something. So I think that's all that was. I kind of like the red jersey, man. I was fooling around with Eli. If he needed a break at any time, I'm available.
And he wore David Carr's old jersey number 8, and it certainly worked. Victor Cruz healthy 100% in practice on Friday, Lance. And how important is it for Victor Cruz to be that big play wide receiver? He got that big contract in the offseason, and so far he's certainly lived up to it.
He has, because he's been drawing double teams. So what he's essentially been doing is he's been opening opportunities up for the rest of the wide receivers. That's why it's so important to have him on the field, whether he's 100% or not, because he can open things up for the running backs, the tight ends, and his fellow receivers. You don't have him in the picture, all of a sudden the defense can change its scheme.
And he, for the most part, has fixed those drop issues he had earlier in his career. And Kevin Gobert also said this week he's really been better at blocking in that running game. Kevin Gilbride also talked about Victor Cruz in terms of those double teams. He said Victor's been seeing a lot more of those this season.
Everywhere we go, everybody doubles him. Everybody's aware of what he means to us. I think, unfortunately, that first game against Dallas showed everybody, hey, you can't play him one-on-one with some of the stuff we let him do inside. And so he's had it to contend with double teams. You know, it reminds me of the old Plexico Burris, the old Steve Smith, at the height of their careers with us. And that's what he's getting. He's encountering that all the time.
And that brings us to our Twitter question. This one, if Victor Cruz is getting so many double teams, Lance, why isn't Akeem Nicks having a bigger season if he's seeing so much single coverage?
Well, it's not necessarily a scheme thing, John. It's more of a mental lapse thing with Akeem Nicks. You had the dislocated finger. At times, Eli Manning has targeted him 10 times, and all of a sudden, he only gets 2 receptions out of that. So, you know, these are things that are fixable. They can be correctable. The bottom line is it's just a level of concentration. And I think moving forward, now that you have the bye week behind you, Akeem Nicks should improve his stat lines.
And Ruben Randall's another guy who's seeing a lot of single coverage, Lance. He's another guy that can step up here, start making some bigger plays down the field to make teams pay for double-teaming Victor Cruz.
Well, Ruben Randall has shown flashes. There's been some games where he gets 2 touchdowns, and then there's been other games where he's targeted once and gets no reception, such as that last Philadelphia Eagles game. I think playing time has impacted Ruben Randall's contributions for this team, but you're 100% right. He's another guy. I would even throw in Brandon Myers, another player that they're waiting to really live up to expectations.
Now, Giant fans have also asked about Lewis Murphy Jr. How much do you expect to see him the second half of the year, or has Jarrell Jernigan passed him on the depth chart?
Well, right now it seems as if Jarrell Jernigan has passed him on the depth chart. Lewis Murphy hasn't been 100% healthy. I think that's held him back, and it's a numbers game. You're not going to take Ruben Randle, Victor Cruz, or Akeem Nicks out of the lineup just so that you can get a rep here or there for a Lewis Murphy. So I think that's how the Giants are looking at things, and that's how they're putting things in perspective right now.
And Lance, no doubt about it. We will talk more about the short passing game as the show moves along, and including Brandon Myers' pass being a bigger part of that Giants offense in the second half of the season. One of the players that's really stepped up in recent games and helped the New York Giants is safety Will Hill. He was suspended the first four games of the season, but since he's been back, he's been a game changer, making a lot of plays at safety and also giving the coaching staff a lot of opportunities to move him and Ontre Roll around to confuse opposing offenses. He's been all over the field and has translated that physical ability to the football field into production. Our own Anita Marks had a chance to talk to Will Hill earlier in the week.
Anita Marks here with Will Hill in a big game. You guys are coming off of bye. First and foremost, how do you feel? You got a week rested up, right?
Yeah, it's always feel good to have a week's rest. You just relax, get to enjoy your family, just get your mind off football just a little bit and come back refreshed.
All right, so refreshed and now looking at a Oakland Raiders team who reports out of Oakland is that Terrell Pryor, even though he has a sprained knee last week against Philadelphia, has been practicing well and has looked good. Talk about what it is to go up against a mobile quarterback like Terrell Pryor.
Well, you know, we had to go against Vic, you know, and he's similar to Vic, but maybe a little bit faster. And he has that stiff arm that'll embarrass you. So just to go up against him, we got to, as a defensive back and defensive unit, we have to stay on our coverages for a longer time. So that means plays will last longer because he can create offense with his feet.
Well, in looking around this locker room, if I was Perry Fuel, if there's one guy I would shadow Terrell Pryor with, it would be you, Will Hill. Are we going to see a little bit of that on Sunday?
Maybe. You might have a little bit, just certain calls, but as a collective unit, the defense got to get it done.
And when you do have a mobile quarterback like that, what does it mean to their rushing attack? Granted, it doesn't look like Darren McFadden is going to play because he's dealing with a hamstring injury, but Rashad Jennings has been just as good. When you have a mobile quarterback, what does it do for their running attack as well?
It adds another element, you know, because like some teams you don't even have to worry about the quarterback, so now you got to worry about the dive, you got to worry about the quarterback pulling, so you have to be on working on all cylinders and your head got to be on a swivel.
Well, hopefully you can contain him.
Yeah, hopefully.
That's Anita Marks with Giants safety Will Hill. And Lance, he's really been a godsend. You didn't really know in preseason, in training camp, how much he would be able to contribute considering his lack of experience, but he's really hit the ground running.
Well, John Beeson's received all the attention as to why the Giants have turned their defense around, John, but Will Hill, ever since he returned for that first Eagles matchup, what stands out to me is when he trips up LeSean McCoy and prevents the Eagles from getting in the red zone once they were making progress down the field. So his versatility adds a whole new dimension to this team, and given that they're battling injuries in the corner spot, you need an extra safety so that now you can move Ontre Roll around a bit.
And perhaps even more important is the absence of the mistakes inexperienced players usually makes. The Giants offense has also been able to cut down on a lot of their mistakes in the last 2 weeks. They've had no turnovers. Eli Manning has played clean football. And a lot of that has to do with the short passing game. I asked Eli earlier in the week whether or not the team's going to try to get back to getting the ball down the field, making those big plays this offense is renowned for. He says that's not really the concern at this point of the season.
We've been better at having, you know, third and manageable situations. So we're converting more third downs, you know, therefore having more plays, getting into a better rhythm. And you know, we got to do a little bit better down the green zone. I think we are close on a number of plays, you know, just, you know, have a few things, you know, where we're just inches away from having touchdowns and set of incompletions on some things. So, but I feel good that we're making progress. We are getting better and we're going to continue to improve.
And Lance, I really thought it was telling that Eli Manning, a guy who always tries to get the ball down the field, is almost pushing that aside and saying, you know what, let's get into third and four, let's get into third and three, let's be much more methodical moving the football down the field. Have they really abandoned the deep pass here?
Well, I don't think they're abandoning it, but Eli Manning realizes the offense is making progress and it's stepping in the right direction by settling for some of the shorter passes. The arrival of Peyton Hillis has certainly made a difference, and it's showing up in third downs, John, because the bottom line is they face numerous third downs where they were going to have to pick up anywhere from 9 to 10 yards, and now all of a sudden you're seeing them have to get 5 yards or less. So Eli Manning, I think he's looking at the numbers, and he's saying to himself, at the end of the day, this is what we need to stick with.
And the Giants still have a lot of third down issues, a lot of third and tens, but you're seeing some progress and the pass protection getting better as well moving forward. But Lance, here's the question. You can go to the short passing game when the defense is playing as well as it has the last 10 quarters. What happens when this team needs to get down the field, make some big plays, have some comebacks? Will it be able to click back in? Can they go back to that at a moment's notice?
Well, you assume if you're going to more of the short passes, John, the defense is eventually going to have to bite, and they're going to want to take away some of those shorter routes from you. So if that's the case, you bring up some of the defenders closer to the box, and perhaps that in turn can open up the big plays for you.
And Giants also hope this could open up things for Brandon Myers. When he came here, they expected him to be a big part of the passing game. He had over 80 catches in Oakland last year, but so far, quiet for the New York Football Giants. He thinks in the second half of the year, if he wants to get going, it's all about chemistry with his quarterback.
Just getting on the same page, every play. And when he expects me to be there, I got to be there. So, it's kind of just picking his brain, seeing what he wants, and go from there.
And that brings us to our next Twitter question from @Bait718. Lance, can we expect a big second half of the season from Brandon Myers with the team's new philosophy on offense?
Well, he just said that he needs to get on the same page with Eli Manning, John. It's been 8 games already. What makes everybody think all of a sudden it's going to click in game number 9? Though I would think if there's any game for things to click, it would be a game against his former team, because he's probably itching to make a statement as to why Oakland let him go. But this is a guy, as we're seeing from the video, he can run intermediate routes. He could be that security blanket. If Eli Manning continues to hook and look his way, I think there's a possibility he can at least improve in terms of his numbers.
And talking to him in the locker room, he talked about how that chemistry develops on the practice field and in the meeting room. It seems like he's putting the work in, Lance, but for some reason, him and Eli just seem to be a step off, a second off, here or there. It's not where they're not even in the same vicinity. They just seem to be a little bit off in terms of their connection.
And he's also been off with some of his wide receivers. Listen, they've had an entire training camp. They've had OTAs. They've had 8 games. So you would hope that there would be some signs of progress. And I think there's been that as of late. Myers has been a little bit more involved in the offense, but it may take another few games. It may take even a whole season for the two of them to really gain that camaraderie that they desperately need right now.
We talked about the running game a little bit earlier in the show. How do you expect the Giants to split their carries on Sunday afternoon?
Well, I would assume that Peyton Hillis is going to be the heavy lifter. Andre Brown's ready to get back, but as we said off the top of the show, they're not going to throw him in the mix for 20 to 25 carries. So Hillis is going to be the primary back. He'll probably see in the 18 to 20 carry percent, and then all of a sudden maybe they'll throw in Andre Brown for anywhere from 5 to 8 carries.
And Peyton Hillis, again, through the air, on the ground, I would expect him to carry most of the load here.
Absolutely. Listen, he's comfortable with the offense at this point, John. I think Kevin Gilbride mentioned Andre Brown. He's also comfortable with the offense, but things are not as natural in terms of his progressions because he hasn't been on the football field. So he has to all of a sudden reacclimate himself and be ready to pick up the blitz, anticipate which holes to take. That may take a game or two till he gets fully more comfortable.
Giants and Raiders on Sunday afternoon. We'll see how the Giants handle things in terms of the running game. We'll be back with more previewing that matchup, but first, let's take a look at the 10 things you need to know about that Giants and Raiders matchup on Sunday afternoon.
Here are 10 things you need to know about the Giants-Raiders rivalry. 10. In his 10 seasons with the Giants, Tom Coughlin has just one Week 10 victory, coming at Philadelphia in 2008. The Giants are 1-7, in addition to a bye in the 10th week of the season under the head coach. 9. The number of passing touchdowns in Giants history against the Raiders. The fewest against any opponent that New York has faced more than 9 times. 8. The number of times the Giants have recorded at least 40 rushing attempts under Tom Coughlin, including the most recent meeting with Oakland. They ran the ball 41 times for 220 yards in a 44-7 win in 2009.
I sat with Bradshaw. And Bradshaw runs right past to the goal line. Touchdown, Giants!
7. The number of Super Bowl titles between the two franchises. New York has 4, 1986, 1990, 2007, and 2011. Oakland / Los Angeles has 3, 1976, 1980, and 1983. 6. New York is 6-3 coming off their bye under Tom Coughlin. The Giants, who took their break last week, will try to improve that record when they host the Raiders. 5. The Giants have lost five straight games to AFC opponents, the most under Tom Coughlin, stretching back to last season. The Giants' drought came off of Coughlin's best seven-game win streak against the opposing conference, dating back from 2010 to 2012. 4. The number of teams Eli Manning has never thrown an interception against, including the Oakland Raiders. The others, Detroit, Miami, and San Diego. 3. Ahmad Bradshaw and David Carr combined for three rushing touchdowns against the Raiders in 2009, tying a Giants record for most in a game versus Oakland. Coincidentally, another running back and quarterback combo of Otis Anderson and Phil Simms rushed for the same total in 1989. 2. The Giants have won two straight games, 2005 and 2009, against the Raiders by a combined score of 77-28. New York also won two straight, 1986 and 1989, when the Raiders were located in Los Angeles. The Giants are 4-7 all-time against the Raiders and have never met in the postseason. 1. Eli Manning has once achieved a perfect passer rating of 158.3 in his career. It came against the Raiders in 2009 when he played only five series of the game and completed 8 of 10 passes for 173 yards, 2 touchdowns, and no interceptions. Manning on a play fake, steps up, has time, throws one deep to the corner of the end zone. Manning has got a touchdown in the right corner of the end zone.
And Eli Manning will try to have another perfect quarterback rating game against the Oakland Raiders on Sunday afternoon. But Lance, it's been the defense that has really been the story the last 2.5 games. They have been dominant, pitching a shutout for 10 straight quarters.
That's right. They haven't given up a score in the end zone since that Chicago Bears game. So they've built off of that momentum game to game. They've also been opportunistic. There's been some takeaways in the mix. Terrell Thomas got to Matt Barkley in that last Eagles game. Jaquan Williams recovers the fumble. So all of a sudden, the field position is changing, and you're taking the pressure off your offense.
And they've been able to do it without big plays from Jason Pierre-Paul. He's been relatively quiet this year. He had back surgery in the offseason, and earlier, just 3 weeks ago, earlier in the season, he talked about how, you know, the injury is bothering him. He doesn't have his strength. It might take a full year to get back. Well, with the bye week here and gone, all of a sudden, he says he's ready to have a huge game on Sunday.
Honestly, I feel good, man. Like, you know, it's been 8 games, and, you know, I say I feel like 90% now. You know, like, for those 8 games, I've been playing, look, how my back is going to take this, you know what I mean, how it's going to feel, but I got to a point, man, I can't think about that. You know, I got to go out and play the game. Like, I can't think about getting hurt.
I think the bye week, you know, obviously helped him a lot. And so, you know, he's practiced well this week. He's got a pep in his step, and we're looking for good things.
And that, of course, Giant defensive coordinator Perryfield talking about Jason Pierre-Paul. And Lance, we've heard talk of all kinds from JPP since he came back. At this point, don't we just have to wait to see what he does on the field on Sunday?
And this is another opportunity for him to quiet the skeptics, John. The numbers don't lie. 1 sack over 8 games. This is far removed from 2011 at this point. You can only turn to the 16.5 sacks so much. He's got to turn the corner and eventually beat the double teams and start putting up the quality numbers. Even if the quarterback hits rise, that's a sign that JPP is getting back to his old self.
And really, at times, Justin Tuck has seen more double teams than Jason Pierre-Paul, though he has been pretty solid against the run, much like the rest of this Giants defensive line. However, here's a little kink in the armor now. Sean Rogers was placed on IR yesterday. Marcus Kuhn activated. Lance, how is this move going to affect the Giants' rush defense without Sean Rogers in the mix?
Well, if there's one position they have great depth at, it's defensive tackle. You go back to the Eagles game, Sean Rogers wasn't in the mix, and they were able to pick up where they left off from previous contests. LeSean McCoy was held in check for the second time this season. They've done a really good job of clogging the holes lately because of the big butts that Perryfield talked about at the beginning of the season. You're going to have guys like Hankins. You're going to have guys like Kuhn. There's other personnel that they can fill the void. I don't think it's a huge loss compared to other positions where they don't nearly have as much depth.
How much do you think Marcus Kuhn is going to play his first week off of IR? Are we talking about a couple snaps? He's going to be inactive. What do you think?
I think he'll be active, but it'll probably be on a snap count. It's like the Andre Brown school of thought. You're not going to throw the guy right into the fire. He looks like a brick wall. We've seen him in the locker room. He's built. He's ready to go. He's hungry, but I think they need to work him in very slowly.
No doubt about it. And the Giants have stopped the run well all year long. 3.6 yards per carry, And Lance, you just got to hope that with this current configuration, this can continue.
Well, they're going up against a Raiders team that has a dual threat. Rashad Jennings, who will likely replace Darren McFadden. He's excellent in terms of the backfield. He's also very good as a receiver. And Terrell Pryor is the top rusher among quarterbacks this season. So they've got another big challenge, but they've done very well against running backs this season.
And the Raiders play a lot different than other teams the Giants have faced this year. We're not talking about shotgun. We're not talking about spread. We're talking about what the NFL teams call 21 personnel. Two running backs, one tight end. It's power football. These guys want to run it down your throat. You mentioned Rashad Jennings. You mentioned Marcel Reese, their fullback. And Justin Tuck thinks this Giants defense is very suited to play against that type of offensive attack.
We match up with it pretty well, but, you know, we got to go out there and execute because, you know, they do a lot of things in the run game to kind of, you know, to throw you off. They can give you all different looks in that 21 personnel. They can be a power team. They can be, you know, get on the edges on you. And you know, depending on how McFadden is with his hamstring, you know, he's another one of those great backs that can change the game at one play. So, you know, we got to continue to do what we've done and play pretty good against the run.
And that brings us to our next Twitter question from at William Jamerson. Lance, who is going to pick up more of Rodgers' snaps? Hankerson or Kuhn?
Well, I would probably go with Hankins. As we mentioned, Kuhn, they're going to work very slowly back into the mix because the bottom line is he's just coming off the PUP list. He has practiced, but the last thing you want to do is rely on a guy to play X amount of snaps who really hasn't adjusted from practice to game. So Hankins has had limited reps, but he's been out there. That would be the most reliable option.
Jonathan Hankins, the team's second-round pick this year. They have high hopes for him. He hasn't had to play because of all the depth. But when he has played, he's been good, and he really has that body type to be that run-stopping type of defensive tackle.
And in Perry Fuel's system, John, he mixes and matches guys. So it's not as if one defensive tackle is going to play the entire game. Plus, remember, they also have Linville Joseph, who hasn't gone anywhere. He's a veteran presence who can work with the youngster in terms of making sure he's on the same page with the rest of the defensive linemen.
Let's talk about this Raider backfield a little bit. Darren McFadden not going to play with the hamstring. Rashad Jennings, though, a very good running back, starting quality. Good hands, runs between the tackles. This guy can do a lot of stuff.
He's had plenty of experience, John. He backed up Maurice Jones-Drew for a few seasons in Jacksonville. 7 receptions in the last game against the Eagles. Also had over 100 yards. He's nifty. He can get between the tackles. As you see in the video, he can also run out towards the edges. This is a guy that they're going to have to be very aware of on all angles and cylinders.
And then Marcel Reese, a converted college wide receiver. He runs a 4-4. They like throwing the ball to him as well, and he can get down the field. This guy's an explosive player at fullback.
Specifically last season, John, I'm a little surprised. They actually haven't been utilizing him as much as in seasons past. When McFadden went down, it was Reese who came in. This year, he only has 12 carries and 13 receptions.
We'll have more on the Giants and Raiders in just a second, and with more on this game, going in-depth on the X's and O's and Carl Banks with this week's edition of Strategy.
All right, let's take a look at the Oakland Raiders defense. Pretty solid defense, and I think the key for being successful versus this front, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys on the defensive front. You've got on the offensive side of the ball, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, with a possible 7th guy as a fullback. So the numbers are there, but it's recognizing what the front is. The Raiders are in a bit of an overfront, which means that they slid the line over to the right, and then they walked a linebacker up here at the line of scrimmage. So this is your free guy that you have to get blocked in the run game. If you turn one guy loose, it's not going to go well for the play. Keep an eye on 55. No one blocks him. Then they bring a second guy. Sack. You have 6 guys to block 5. You have to be able to account for each guy. Offensively, the Giant defense has been really good versus the run. It's very important to understand the formations if you're on defense and understand your gap control. It's all about gap discipline. When you see the pistol formation, you've got to know if you're an outside rusher, you've got to get up the field and contain each guy on the edge because the pistol formation is designed to put pressure on the edge rushers. So let's take a look here. You've got a safety playing linebacker, and you have a linebacker. So if I slow this down, I'll freeze it here. End man is now blocked. The new end man at the line of scrimmage has to be here, or here. Let's see what happens. He doesn't come up. Quarterback is free. Makes the play.
And you saw Carl Banks there break down a number of things from the Oakland Raiders. But one thing he did talk about, Lance, was that long run against the Pittsburgh Steelers, a record-setting 93-yard run. Terrell Pryor is fast, he's big, and he's a threat.
He is. He's very dangerous because he's not the type of guy that's going to look for the long bomb down the field. This West Coast offense sets him up for high percentage throws. And if he doesn't have it, in the blink of an eye, John, you give him an inch, he will take a mile. They've got to be well disciplined in terms of their gaps. And keep in mind, John, they've had trouble with mobile quarterbacks. Cam Newton and Michael Vick very successful this season against this Giants defense.
And Perry Field knows that, and he knows that it's going to be up to the entire defense, all 11 guys, to slow down Terrell Pryor.
We're going to have to have our A-game going to contain this guy because he can hurt you. 94 yards, I think, was against Philly that he ran for. And he can pull the ball down on a running play or a pass play and go at any time. So that's what makes him really tough, in that you never know when that's going to happen with him, because it's not just quarterback scrambles. I think sometimes they're designed runs, you know, that they have, that it's a tailback run action and he just keeps the ball.
And Lance, we're probably going to see more read option than we've seen all year long in this game, not to mention running when there's breakdowns in pass protection.
Well, they'll give you a little bit of everything. As we touched earlier in the show, John, they run that 21 personnel, but there's so many different configurations off of what seems to be a typical setup in the NFL. So they've really got to be on their P's and Q's in terms of knowing where Pryor is at all times. Cam Newton, 7 carries, 45 yards. Vick, 7 for 79 in one half alone. Pryor's the type of guy, in 5 carries alone, he could get nearly 100 yards, and he will take that. He will not settle for the short pass if he can run.
And if the season ended today, he would set an NFL record for the most yards per game for a quarterback in a single season in NFL history. He doesn't just run it, though. He also passes it. The Raiders utilize a West Coast offense with a lot of short passes that he's pretty adept at completing.
And that's why they like him fitting through that system, because he can just turn to his tight end, turn to his wide receivers, and settle for the 5 or 6 yard pickups. Denarius Moore is their only deep threat. Outside of that, you're going to see, as the video shows, he's going to drop it over the middle. They're going to use a lot of slant routes. Rod Streeter, for example, is probably his most reliable guy in those short yardage situations, and Michael Rivera, their tight end.
And you mentioned Denarius Moore. 84% of his catches this year have been for first downs. That's second highest in the NFL. He can make big plays, and he's the one guy, if they're going deep, he's going to be their target down the field.
And that's why I think at times this Raiders offense gets overlooked, John, because they don't have a lot of name commodities. But Moore's the type of guy that has been relatively consistent throughout the course of this season, and he has a number of big plays that you need to keep close tabs on him.
Now, here's the trick, though. In order to make these big plays down the field, you have to protect the quarterback. And, boy, the Raiders offensive line, you think the Giants have injury issues? This is nothing. The Raiders have about 8 or 9 different offensive line combinations this year, and they've had Matt McCann starting at right tackle, someone the Giants cut in their first round of cuts in the offseason. This is why Terrell Pryor has been sacked the second most in the NFL this year.
32 times, to be exact, tied with the Steelers for the second most, as you mentioned, John. Matt McCants, the former sixth-round pick of the Giants in 2012, has now had an opportunity to start. I mean, I can't even keep up with all the names that they've thrown in there. Menelik Watson, a second-round pick from this season, is probably going to start at right tackle with McCants banged up. That's what happens. It's like the Giants' struggles early this season. Inconsistency on the O-line when you don't have the same personnel playing.
And Watson's a guy who was considered raw coming out of the draft. And since then, he only had one training camp practice because of injury. And he's had all sorts of issues. Lance, I want to jump ahead here to the Raiders' defense. They run a 4-3, but they get very creative with their pass pressure. They get after the quarterback 12 different guys with one sack or more.
Specifically on third down, they've got 16 sacks, 5 interceptions on third down alone. Lamar Houston, their defensive end, he leads the way with 4 sacks, was relatively quiet last season. They like to blitz, they're aggressive, and they show many different formations, John.
And 2 veteran, reliable linebackers in Kevin Burnett and Nick Roach.
Yeah, Nick Roach came over from Chicago, is now playing the middle, and he's provided that leadership quality. He also leads the team in tackles. They're well disciplined in that front 7.
Lance, appreciate the time.
Always a blast.
The Giants are doing their annual food drive on Sunday at MetLife Stadium. Bring any canned goods, non-perishable items. You can drop them off at the Stop and Shop trucks outside of MetLife Stadium. Everybody, thanks for joining us. For Lance Mendel, I'm John Schmuck. That's all the time we have on Big Blue Hits Friday on Giants.com. Enjoy the game on Sunday, everybody. We'll see you later.